The reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and this can be found on page 1014 of the Pew Bibles. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when the predicted sufferings of Christ and his subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can draw another breath. You can wake up again in the morning for another new day. And you cannot really be living. You can just be going through the motions. But Peter's letter is written for people who want to live, people who want to be alive, who want to grow. To live is to grow. The call of the gospel is to enter into the kingdom of God, to move on, to mature, to grow in God's presence, to live there for God's glory. Peter writes his letter to encourage us to grow into living in the kingdom of God, more and more to grow as God's people. Survival is not enough. It's not enough for a denomination. It's not enough for a congregation. And it's certainly not enough for a Christian. We don't just want to survive. We want to mature and grow. The verses that Marion read out earlier have rightly been described as the foundation for the Christian life. Like a deeply dug well or a well-laid set of foundation stones, these verses are strong enough to bear the load of our Christian living and growing. There are many points of Christian theology and teaching in these verses. You could run a whole course of dogmatic theology from them. Don't panic. We're not going to do that this morning. Peter didn't write these verses to teach a course in theology. He wrote them to encourage God's children to live as God's children, to encourage us to grow as God's children into the people of God in the kingdom of God. Yes, there is knowledge to gain, but that's almost secondary. There is a life to be lived, and we can live it together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It begins, it ends, it has its middle with God. In 2019, however, God has become too vague a term. Too many people speak about God, and they mean by that short word many, many different things. They mean things different from what Peter means. And so we need to be more specific. Saying we believe in God is too vague. Who is the God we believe in? He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just any God, this unique God. God is named the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source, the beginning of all things, the beginning of our salvation, the beginning of our hope, the one who in Jesus is our Savior. There is, you see, no disharmony or disunity between God and Jesus. There is not a God of the Old Testament who is somehow different from the God of the New Testament. There is one God who is made known to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus Christ, who has come from the very bosom of the Father, the one-of-a-kind Son, Jesus is God. And the God who Peter blesses is this God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. We grow in God's great mercy. Peter is telling us that God has acted for us. God has done what he promised, not because he must, but because he loves us, because he is merciful. It isn't God's job to make us alive in Christ. God does it because he loves us. That we are alive begins with God. I think this might be why the picture of new birth came so easily to hand when the apostles were trying to talk about our Christian life. We are made alive. We are born again by the action of God, our parent. That we are alive at all begins with our parents. It wasn't their job. They didn't have to do it. But because of them, we are alive. Because of God, we have been born again. Is there a bigger change that happens in our life than the change from not being born to being born? This picture is not saying less than a huge change has happened in our life. Our lives, when we are made new in Christ, are made wholly different from what they were before. Like the change in our life from pre-natal to post-natal. Everything has changed. God has caused us to be born again. God is the subject of this action. It is God who is doing whatever is being done. Remember one time meeting a young father who'd been at the birth of his first daughter, And he was so excited, he told me he found it exhausting. I offered him some wise advice. Don't ever say that to your wife. All you did was stand there. You don't get to be exhausted. We aren't the ones who bring ourselves to birth. God does that. He's the one who's working. Yes, we're involved, but God is the actor. And so a growing child need never wonder about their birth. It's an obvious fact. Obviously, all of us here were born. The same is true of our Christian life. We have been born again. Why then do so many Christians live with doubt? Am I really a Christian? Does God really love me? Did Jesus really die for me? But the Father has promised these things. He has brought us to new birth. This is God's work. It will not fail. He has already done it. Now that we are born again, we are to live and grow. The people of God. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, if we stop talking about the cross, let it be to talk about the resurrection. Just one step, one small step for the physical body of the Lord Jesus, from inside that tomb, over the threshold to the outside. But a giant leap for all creation, a giant leap for humanity, a change that can never now be undone. All things are made new. Because Jesus is alive. The resurrection is the sign that God has won. The victory is already his. Leaving behind the empty tomb, the Lord Jesus begins his triumphal procession. In ancient Rome, a conquering emperor or general might be awarded a triumph. He would ride in a chariot at the head of a huge line. People carrying trophies of his victory, perhaps gold and jewels and riches which he'd brought from conquered foes, often wild and exotic animals never before seen in Rome, sometimes liberated captives. It was as though the victor in his chariot would turn around and hold out in his hands and say, "See what I have won. See what my victory has gained." Imagine God turns and opens his hand over you and says, "You are my victory. You are what I have gained through the death and resurrection of Jesus. You, your life. Now live it, grow it, be the people I have won you to be." This is the work of the resurrection. We are the jewel in God's victory crown. There is one God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes you alive in Christ through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. These are the building blocks from which we build a Christian life. Jesus is the sure foundation on which we grow. Which of these building blocks are weak? Which are chipped or broken or cracked? Which of them will fail under the weight of your Christian living? Is this God your rock? Have you left behind your former ways of life? Have you given up building on the sand? You cannot live and grow as a Christian anywhere other than in this God who has given us a living hope that we can grow into this people. Make him your rock. You have a living hope. Live in it. Grow in it. Being alive begins with God, but it is lived in this world. It's lived on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays. This is where we grow. Again, it is self-evident. God did not bring us to faith in Jesus and make us alive in him and immediately transport us to heaven. He didn't do that. He brought us to faith and made us alive in Jesus so that we would live his life for his glory today, tomorrow, and every day until he calls us home or comes again. We are to live and grow in our hope here and now, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have an inheritance, something we don't earn or work for. There was an understanding in the New Testament that the heir already had a claim on the inheritance. Often the son would bear a signet ring of his father, and he could buy things and spend money just with the ring on the basis of one day he's going to inherit everything his father has. He could live today as though he had already received what was promised. We tend to push too much of our Christian inheritance into the far future. Especially, we push it beyond death. We don't live today as heirs of our Father, as those who are inheriting from our Father. The life of the Lord Jesus between Bethlehem and Calvary is a life lived in the inheritance of the kingdom of God. He heals the sick, raises the dead, gives sight to the blind, reveals the Father. This is living in the promised inheritance. This is living in the kingdom of God. Do you think God would promise you an inheritance and not fulfill his promise? It's the inheritance of the world that will fade and fail. Our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. The inheritance God promises us will last for all time, will remain true and valuable, will always shine of our Father's love. Coming together with the inbreaking kingdom is the inbreaking inheritance of the sons and daughters of the kingdom. We are to live as those who have inherited. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. Did you notice here? It's not the inheritance that's being guarded. God is not setting a strong guard upon some inheritance stored up in the future. What is being guarded is you and me, the people of God, who are to inherit. God will use all the resources of his unlimited power to guard you, to keep hold of you as though in custody, to protect you and keep you safe, that he who brought you alive in Christ will bring you to the fullness of that inheritance. God loves you so much, he will not let you fall. He will not let you fail to receive the inheritance he has promised you. With God, we never get to be on our own. Let that one sink in for a moment. We never get to be on our own. Like the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, so the strong arms of our God continually surround us to keep us safe in him. When we live securely, we can live without fear. Bold and confident lives. Within the shelter of his powerful arms, we can grow as his children. How many tender shoots are popping up in the gardens these days of sunshine, only to be battered by the wind? They need some sort of protection around them. But we always have that protection. No wind can batter us over. God has promised. Kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Well, there it comes, you see, that bit about heaven and the last time. Heaven in the New Testament is not a place. It is the kingdom of God. It is the will of God being done. Our inheritance is to be kept for us is the will of God, the purpose of God, the pleasure of God. That's what we will inherit. The fullness of our inheritance is waiting for us at the end of time. But now that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus has happened, the end of time has started. We are living in the last days. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the beginning of the salvation which he has achieved for us, the renewal of all things. Day by day, more and more clearly, the kingdom of God is revealed among us. There is an overlap between the age of the world and the age of the resurrection, which one day will end. And in that day, the fullness of the inheritance, the kingdom and the resurrection will be ours. This is where faith comes in. Faith is the gift of God enlivened within us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we may hold on to the promises of God. God gives faith and God makes it work in us. That's why we're confident we have the right kind of faith. We don't need to see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus to know that it's real. We don't need to see his return in glory. By faith, we hold on to these things and we trust God for them. Hope is about life lived looking forward. Where despair looks forward from an uncertain past and present into an unknown and troubled future, hope looks forward from a sure and certain past, a present in which we are loved by God, to a future which is assured for us. We are born again to a living hope, not a dying hope. If we don't believe these things that God tells us, why should we believe anything? If there's no God, no resurrection, no new life, no new inheritance, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And sadly, we'll stay dead. Hope that is worth the name is about things we are certain of. Are we not certain of our God, of his love for us in Jesus, of the resurrection of our Savior, of his power to save us and make us alive in Christ, of his inheritance promised to us, of his power to keep us and hold us until that day? Are we not certain of these things? Let's live as though we were. Let us grow more and more into them. Let this living transform our daily lives. How we care for our neighbors, how we do our daily work, the way we live with our families. The living hope of God's children is intended to transform our lives and so transform our communities. As we live and grow as the people of God's kingdom, so his kingdom grows and lives among us and through us. We have a living hope. God has kept his promises to us. We have a living hope. Jesus Christ died and rose again. We are to grow into his people. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. We have power to grow and live in this hope. Live in that living hope. Grow and mature in that living hope. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks and praise today for your goodness and kindness to us. By your mercy, you have made us alive. You have given us a hope that will not fail. Strengthen us by your Spirit that day by day we might grow more and more in that hope as your children. Father, be with us and hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.